Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and we have some special guests this morning. Whenever you hear that song, you know our friends are here from Opening Doors. We love these folks because they're doing so much to help our community. Bruce Cady is here. Good morning, Bruce.
Hey, good morning, Meg.
I'm always happy to see you. Got a special guest with you this morning. Why don't you introduce Mr. Wibbs for us?
Oh, awesome. It is with pleasure. I have loved getting to know Vinnie Wibbs and the tremendous work that he and his team at Reentry Alliance Pensacola provide to our communities. Welcome, Vinnie, and thank you, Meg, for having us today.
Bruce and Megan, it's a pleasure for me to be here, too, that's for sure.
Well, I hadn't seen you in person in a while, but it's great to see you.
I assure you, we've been busy, that's for sure.
I have no doubt about that. So tell me, gentlemen, we've got springtime weather. We're seeing lots of folks out there in the community now. It's funny, I hate to say it, but I'm seeing lots of folks on the street corners and in some of those neighborhoods that have those group areas and stuff. This is part of your mission. Can you talk about your mission, Bruce, and all that you do as a coordinator for so many of our organizations?
Sure. Well, Opening Doors Northwest Florida, we're a 501c3 nonprofit. We're the lead agency for the homeless continuum of care in Escambia County and Santa Rosa County. And it's our job to serve and support all of the wonderful service providers across the two counties to ensure they have the resources that they need and to make sure there's coordination. And that's why we thought it would be absolutely terrific to have Vinnie and on the show. He's a part of our Continuum of Care Leadership Council, so he's on that, as well as being the executive director for Reentry Alliance Pensacola.
Okay, so when we talk about that and people say, okay, well, that all sounds really good, but what exactly is it that you do? So I have an idea, but maybe some of our listeners don't. And of course, this is Pep Talk. These are our experts on homelessness here in Pensacola. So you can text in a question or a comment at 850-437-1620. How do we go about helping people? And maybe give us an update on where we are right now.
Okay, well, when we did the most recent point in time count, that's when we as a community go out and survey all those that we can find that are experiencing homelessness, and we get their information, their demographics, but most importantly, we get the number. And the number from this count just this past January was 1,155 individuals, both unsheltered, so those that are on the street, sleeping in tents.
So you're saying these are people that absolutely have no couch, no place to live. They're literally on the streets.
That's correct.
Wow.
We count two categories of circumstances. One is the unsheltered who are on the street, but then there is also the sheltered count, and that's where providers, you know, like Reentry Alliance Pensacola come in. You know, Vinnie and his team run shelters and transitional housing for those that have no place to be.
Well, it's incredible the amount of people and organizations and volunteers that every single day are out there in our community making an effort to help people. I personally think it's a sin that anyone is homeless in this country, but that's just my personal opinion. With as much wealth as we have, it seems to me we ought to be able to take care of folks. Because sometimes there's a stigma attached to homelessness, I have found, where you find that people think, oh, well, just get a job, or they have this sort of an attitude. And a lot of times we don't know, we're not walking in their shoes. We don't know what the situation is, and my guess is so often from what I hear is that it is often a lot of times mental health issues. Certainly veterans with PTSD, people who have had jobs, people who have suddenly come into circumstances where they don't have a steady income. And it doesn't take long in this economy to suddenly have to lose your lease or to lose your home. So, Vinnie, maybe you can address that because you're on the streets every day. How can we help erase the stigma of homelessness?
Well, you know, and I could tell you this, that yesterday I was making little notes, and I was reminded that the people that constitute the homeless population right now, as well as the people that constitute those people that are returning from incarceration, those two categories, are what I would call the modern-day lepers.
Ooh.
They've got that stigma. They're out there.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily their fault, but it certainly is a situation that they're in. And part of our responsibility, and I agree with you, Meg, is that, you know, we have millionaires and we have billionaires.
That's all we hear about all the time.
There's no reason in the world why we should have a mother with two kids sleeping in her car in a parking lot.
Absolutely.
You know, or somebody who's trying to live in a campground area that is unauthorized.
Mm-hmm.
Our country, our people can do better than that. And that's the one nice thing that I can talk about from our community is there are a number of organizations like REAP, but there are so many that people that are working every single day to help eliminate homelessness in our area, to help remove that stigma that we're talking about.
So with Reentry Alliance Pensacola, can you talk about the steps? Someone tells you there's someone that needs help, or they come to you asking for help. How does that process work? Because a lot of people maybe don't even understand that process.
That's a great question, Meg. One of the things, that, and we all have what I'm going to call helplines, where people can call in.
If you have a cell phone.
The first step that we have, we get them in touch with Opening Doors through the coordinated entry system. And they record that basic information. They determine what is the best nonprofit organization to refer an individual to or a family. Once they do that, then it's up to the responsibility of that organization to pick up and start doing. They run that needs assessment, determine exactly what can, they come up with what I would call a plan.
A profile of their situation.
What
in a
needs
way.
To be done and how we can get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And then their responsibility is to help them do that. In Reeve's case, we've been doing that for basically now 13 years.
Wow.
We started out originally primarily dealing with people that were returning from incarceration.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. That's a group I don't even immediately think of. I mean, and that's got to be tough. They kind of let you out of prison with not a whole lot of anything,
well,
do they?
There was a time when they'd say they got $50 and a pat on the back and say, don't do it again.
Oh, gosh.
And that was it. The good news is that at least in the state of Florida now, things are getting appreciably better than they were 10 or 15 years ago. And people cannot be released without having some kind of a reentry plan.
That's good to hear. In our
case of our organization, we get those calls from the release officer at the institution. We know when they're coming, how we can pick them up, and we make immediate plans for them to come in, address those immediate needs. And sometimes the shirts on the back is all they have.
That's so sad.
We pick them up and go forward from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we really became involved in homelessness, because we had some experience, 8 or 10 years working with the people that were coming from incarceration. And at that time, we were asked by the city and working through Opening Doors to address the number of people that were, down underneath the I-110 bridge as part of that unauthorized campground.
Well, I remember.
And that 4 years ago. And the good and the bad news is the good news is you drive by that area right now, and it's clean and green and looks great. The bad news is that there's still an awful lot of people that are out. They're in different areas.
My question is, are they?
we talk about that point in time count, and the reality is that we know there's over 1,000 people, and that is a good, very accurate count, but there's also a number of people that are not counted by that.
I was wondering about that too. I thought those are the people that would actually answer your questions, or you were able to approach.
Yeah, some people don't want to be bothered, and there may be some legitimate reasons for them not wanting to respond.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about the facilities that you have and how you can help them, a lot of people will sit down and take the time to spend that time with you and give you the information you need.
We're talking with our friends with Opening Doors of Northwest Florida, Bruce Cady, and also Vinny Wibbs is here this morning, and he is with Reentry Alliance Pensacola. If you've got a question for them, and if you're wondering how you can volunteer or you have a comment, please text it on in at 850-437-1620. So a big part of what we do on this show is you're the experts. We want you to share the information and knowledge that you have, because you've learned, I'm sure, so much in your 13 years. And I know Bruce has been in this business a long time. And so when you come to that point of today, how can you help people understand the I don't know what the right word is, the seriousness, it seems like a light word, of the situation in our community? And then how can we really help? We can all, it doesn't do enough just to feel bad. It does help to say a prayer, but I think we need to do more than that.
Absolutely, Meg. One thing that I'd like to touch on and also thank, the sponsor for this show is Lakeview Center. They are Northwest Florida's leading behavioral health provider, and they are an absolutely integral role in the battle to serve, you know, our community that are experiencing homelessness. Many of those experiencing homelessness, perhaps they didn't have mental health or substance abuse challenges, but as the crisis of their homelessness took over their life, they digress into, you know, a state of a mental health crisis, which often leads to substance abuse as they self-medicate. And so to your specific question, Meg, one of the things that I have really taken hold of, I guess, is we have so many providers like REAP that are serving specific demographics, a specific part of the homelessness, just like Lakeview Center is providing, you know, mental health and substance abuse to not only the homeless but to the community at large. So my responsibility is to identify where all of those providers maybe aren't coordinating as closely. You might have connections that haven't been established, and then getting into the middle of that and working with them to smooth out the process. As Vinnie mentioned, my agency is the starting point as people enter the homeless service delivery system through the coordinated entry process. And that allows us to then quickly triage. The individual only has to tell their story once, so they're not having to repeat things over and over again. All get frustrated.
Well, and that's very valuable, because if you have to repeat it over and over again, you feel like you're not being heard.
Absolutely. Not being heard, and it's also inefficient. Mm-hmm. Every question that you have to answer, if you have to answer that question 2, 3, 4, 5 times, that's taking time. And so these individuals are in a state of crisis, and this is part of trauma-informed care. Our job is to minimize the time homeless, to minimize a return to homelessness when people are housed, and to prevent homelessness when we can.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of how this system works, and how it is so critical to have strong, active, boots on the ground providers like REAP. In fact, I just had a memory from the pit count. I remember pulling into a parking lot with my pit team, and we were engaged with a couple of individuals doing a survey, and Vinny and his team descended at the same time, and so it was fun. Vinny is boots on the ground, very much so, and I love working with him, and I love
Bruce,
his energy.
I appreciate that, and I think it's really important to know that there's that old adage that says that it takes a community to solve mm-hmm. a problem. And one of the nicest things about our community in Northwest Florida right now is that there are a number of agencies, and over time we've learned to work together with them to solve particular problems. And we talk about Lakeview Center, but we go back with the relationship with Lakeview Center over the last 15 years, really. And what I've found is when you have a particular situation, an individual that needs some kind of replacement, that a call to the Lakeview Center is when it can really work. And that happens on a daily basis. It's amazing and somewhat tragic. Yeah. That every time you turn around, you walk in, and sometimes there's a new person on the front step, you know, or getting out of the car and saying, well, where can I go for help? And it is important that we have. And it's our community is fortunate from that. We've got faith-based communities. We've got lots of organizations. And as Bruce said, you know, sometimes there are organizations that do exactly what you need to have done, but you're unaware of them. Mm-hmm. And so part of the it's important that we all put together, we exchange, transfer that information from side to side.
Right, because then it would be too easy to have duplicate services.
That's right.
The intentions are all good, but now you're duplicating either the same group or the same person. So being able to really reach across it, because it's not black and white.
No, not at all.
One of the things, and the good news is that most of these organizations now subscribe to a program that's called Homeless Management Information System, HMIS.
I have not heard of that.
It is designed. it is designed to, what I think, record, collate all the personal information for an individual,
mm-hmm.
and then try to avoid that duplication of services to make certain that there are unfortunate people that will try to take advantage of and go from one to another. But more importantly, what you really want to do is you want to figure out where is the best place to get this person's need addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And that HMIS system is designed to be that way.
So you see someone on the street corner, or maybe at some point, you just due to different circumstances, you find yourself talking to someone that really needs help. What is the first step? I know they say call 911, but once that's done, a lot of times they'll come out, talk to the person says, no, I'm good, I'm good right where I am, and they kind of turn down that emergency service. So what is the next step? How can we help someone?
One of the things that we've been doing now, and this is done through a cooperation, a program with Escambia and Santa Rosa County called the Escambia Consortium. We actually go out, street outreach group, we go out 3 days a week to particular locations that have been identified by the emergency management system. They say these are known campground areas, mm-hmm. unauthorized campgrounds, and we'll go out there and you work with the Pensacola Police Department has got individuals that are specifically assigned that responsibility, that street outreach program. Same thing with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, and so we're all working together. You go out there, you sit down with them. Some of those people don't want to participate, but they need some help. And
right.
You can say, hey, all right, fine, here. You need to get, we'll make an appointment for you at Community Health or Lakeview or whatever it may happen to be. And you can provide them with a bus pass,
mm-hmm.
to access that thing. So part of that responsibility, and the person that's the case management doing that street outreach work does that specifically. And they do it every single day, really.
It's interesting because there's so many dynamics to this. It's not cut and dry. And I know that there's some folks, the homeless, I was involved with an organization in New York City. And at that time, one of the problems we had was we would come upon people who actually needed the help but distrusted the system. They were worried about what am I going to have to do to get these services? Or there might be conditions attached to those services. And so how do you help them understand that this help is going to make a difference for them?
I'm going to say that one of the things that's really important is to have what I'm going to call the caring heart. Mm-hmm. You need to understand that there may be very specific reasons why the person is in their situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we may not be able to change the reasons there. But you can say, how can we go forward and try to address those particular needs to go forward? And that's kind of what the goal is.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, to piggyback on Vinny's comments, the best practice for street outreach, as Vinny described, is repetitive connections.
Of course, building a relationship.
Building the relationship. Vinny's team and other teams in the community are out doing this work repeatedly. There may be bringing water, helping an individual get an appointment for services or transportation. Over time, the individual knows that they can trust Vinny and his team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these are good people doing good work with a caring heart, as Vinny said. And oftentimes, I remind myself and I remind my staff that oftentimes we may be the only kind voice that these individuals experience during their day.
Right.
We need to remember that. These are people. These are our friends. These, mm-hmm. these are our neighbors. And if we start our interactions with that kindness, with that respect and dignity, we will work our way into their heart. Oftentimes when you're on the street, that's a very dark place psychologically.
And mm-hmm. they are very reluctant.
Yes.
I was going to say, very defensive sometimes,
and so with reason. You've got to say, we'll take baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
And I just use this as an example. When we go out, one of our street outreach people goes by Publix, and they get the 2-day-old bread, the croissants and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And sometimes you can just go out and put them out there. Not ask any questions, just make that available. You go out a couple days in a row, as you talk about that repetitive thing, and all of a sudden you build some credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you got to get past that in order to start addressing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we certainly are talking to two experts, and we're doing their best to make a difference on homelessness here in our community. Bruce Cady, who is the executive director here with Opening Doors of Northwest Florida, and he is responsible for Continuum of Care for Homelessness. And then Vince Wibbs, who many of us know in the community for so many other areas that you've done over the years to help. And he's also in charge now of REAP, which is Reentry Alliance Pensacola. Just a few minutes left, about 3 or 4 minutes left. Anything that you wanted to touch on today, Bruce, we haven't touched on. I know on my list is how can we help and how can our listeners help who are sitting here and maybe have been touched by what you've talked about today and want to do something.
Well, when people ask me, what do I do when I'm at an intersection and there's an individual that is, asking for money?
I just saw my fellow this morning and my heart breaks for him every time I see him.
And so I'm going to echo the comments of another one of our earlier guests, Clay Romano of Waterfront Rescue Mission. The way that he approaches that question is, if your heart moves you to help that person with money, help that person. But when you do that, understand that those funds may be used for things that might hurt that person. A different way to meet that goal is to help, whether it's financially or as a volunteer. A nonprofit like REAP, like Opening Doors, any one of our wonderful, whether it's faith-based, we just have such a remarkable community across the two counties. Giving your time, giving your money, or at a minimum, help change the day that person is living,
mm-hmm.
with a smile, with a kind word, with a bottle of water. In my truck, I always keep a cooler with a bit of ice.
That's a great idea, especially now that it's getting so hot.
It's getting hot, and we all need water. Mm-hmm. And when you're on the street, everything is hard to get. And the only thing that you can get that doesn't cost anything is air. Everything else has a cost to it.
Mm-hmm. And is there somewhere that we can go, Vinny, to if we wanted to donate some funds or make some donations to help your organization?
The good news is there are a litany of nonprofit organizations. And what I would say to you is if you feel like you're in a position whereby you could do something, one of the things you can do is you can go to these organizations and provide them with some funds that they can use because they are experienced. They make those funds go longer.
Right.
And they make certain that they're being used in the proper thing.
They get more for the dollar,
more for the dollar. And the other thing that I would say is make sure that as an individual, you are aware of the numerous organizations in our community that can provide service.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes being able to say, this is where you need to go, can help an individual an awful lot.
Absolutely. So, Bruce, I know you don't have it in front of you, but can you kind of, from the top of your head, just rattle off some of these organizations? Obviously, first up is REAP, Reentry of the Front
Lines. Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
What's your website there, Vinny?
www.reapreentry.org.
Okay, reapreentry.org.
And I tell you, Meg, we have an absolutely fabulous 2-1-1 provider in our community, the United Way of West Florida. It's an easy number to remember. 2-1-1 is a consolidated, it's a non-emergency,
mm-hmm.
so it does not at all replace 911, but 2-1-1 connects individuals to all sorts of services in the community. They have housing resources, homeless resources, food resources, healthcare resources. So my recommendation would be go to 2-1-1 if anyone has a crisis in their life and needs to be paired to a provider.
And you don't necessarily have to be on the street to use that service.
Anybody can use 2-1-1, and you should use that. Absolutely.
Okay. Bruce, Katie, thank you so much with Opening Doors of West Florida. Vinny Wibbs,
it's
great to
pleasure.
See
thank you
again.
Very much.
Hey,
thanks
thank
for
you,
all that you're doing for our community. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel.